by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Could the NBA be coming back to Seattle? Well, no, but I'll explain. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. One of the things I have such fond memories of is with all three of our girls, we did daddy-daughter college visit weekends. And so my oldest daughter and I, we went to the L.A. area, and we looked at Pepperdine and USC and Loyola and a couple of those. And my middle daughter and I went to San Francisco, looked at Santa Clara and where else? St. Mary's. Went to a bunch.
USF.
USF, yeah. Mm-hmm. My youngest daughter and I went to Phoenix and went to visit Arizona State. Mm-hmm. And there's one other college. They all kind of blend together.
University of Arizona.
No, that's up in Tucson. But there was one other in the Phoenix area that had some she was interested in. But, yeah, you can tell how much I remember about those weekends. But it was just fun because, two of my girls ended up being Huskies and one a Cougar. But it was just kind of a fun thing to do. Anyway, with my youngest daughter, when we went down to visit Arizona State, our radio station, Bonneville, our company, we have stations in Phoenix. And so I contacted some people down there and said, hey, could you get my daughter and me tickets to a Phoenix Suns game? And so we went and saw the Suns play. And the arena they play in, it was built in 1993, and they had just finished a major renovation in 2003, where they added just this glass pavilion and all of this convention space. And they told the taxpayers, once we get this renovation in 2003, we'll be set. Well, now, Seattle is becoming the stalking horse for all of these owners around the NBA who want to hijack the taxpayers for money. So the Arizona Republic newspaper is reporting this afternoon that the owner of the Phoenix Suns is threatening to move the franchise to Seattle. And he's also holding Las Vegas out as a possibility if the Phoenix City Council doesn't vote to approve $150 million tax dollars for a renovation of the arena in which the Suns play. And we've seen this play out so many times. When the Sacramento Kings, when they wanted a new arena, they were going to move to Seattle if we don't get it. And the people in Sacramento, that's their only major league sports franchise in Sacramento. And the people there, they have such an identity with their NBA team. And that was when Chris Hansen was going to build the Soto Arena. And Chris Hansen was going to buy the Sacramento Kings and move them to Seattle. And in a panic, Sacramento caved in finally and said, okay, we'll give you what you want. Okay, this is what's going to happen with the new Seattle Center Coliseum remodel that's being done right now, is NBA owners all around the league who want free stuff from the taxpayers, they're going to dangle Seattle out there. And so the Suns say they need a $230 million renovation. They say we'll pay for $80 million of it, but they want the taxpayers to come up with $150 million. And right now, the Phoenix City Council looks like it is split. Four of the seven look like they are no votes on public money for the new basketball arena. So if they say no, then we'll see if the Suns owner follows through on his threat to move the team to Seattle or to Las Vegas. But we're going to hear this over and over again. And if anybody is even remotely thinking that it's anything other than a hostage situation for the cities involved, you're wrong. Seattle's going to be just dangled out there as the place they'll go, and the cities will eventually cave in and come up with all kinds of tax money. One thing I'll say, the Mariners deal for what used to be Safeco Field, and we don't know They haven't announced the new naming rights yet, have they?
No, we'd be all over it.
Yeah, so they just agreed to a 25-year extension, and a lot of people said it's way too much tax money involved. And I agree to large extent with that, but the one thing I'll say is the Mariners owners throughout the process said, we're not going to threaten to leave Seattle. We're not going to say we'll go elsewhere. If that's what they did back in, you know, 95, they were going to be gone. They were going to go, and then long before that, they were going to move to Tampa before Tampa got a team. And other cities were going to be the landing spot for the Mariners. But at least the owners this time didn't say, we're going to move if you don't give us what we want. But that's the story this afternoon, is that the Phoenix Suns are threatening to move to Seattle. Don't expect to see that happen. It's just us being used so taxpayers can get hijacked in other cities. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Big Local.
Oh, this story is so awful, about a young woman in Renton who is in a coma, I'm sorry, after being hit by a repeat DUI offender. This is a 24-year-old young woman, and when you hear the criminal background of the guy who hit her on her bike, it is just infuriating. And if you're a longtime listener to this show, you know that one of the first causes that I really took on when I first got this show was we need to toughen our DUI laws in our state. And I still feel I would be draconian with our DUI laws. I would, and this is what I've said from the very start. First offense, I would have some leniency, because I truly believe that anybody can make a mistake one time. I really do. But somebody can get behind the wheel, not know that they were over the limit. I don't think we should ruin their lives over a first-time DUI. Second time, you already got one behind you. And the stats are that for every time you're convicted of a DUI, you probably have driven drunk about 50 times without getting caught. Second time, a year in jail. Third time, three strikes, you're out. Even if you haven't injured or killed anybody, we'll put your drunken self behind bars, because you're eventually going to kill somebody or seriously injure. Channel 4, ComoNews.com, Gabe Cohen was the reporter on this, and the stats he had, I'm going to play a lot of Gabe's report, because it just illustrates how ridiculous, how pathetic our DUI laws are in our state.
I don't know how to get through it.
This all feels unfair to Cherie Warner. Her daughter Taylor is in a coma at Harborview with brain trauma, internal bleeding, and broken bones.
I can't tell you enough how horrifying this is.
Taylor has been unconscious for 4 days since she was hit on her bicycle in Renton. Police arrested the driver, 44-year-old Vern Henderson.
Okay, now listen to 44-year-old Vern Henderson's background of driving while impaired. And, you know, I relate to stories like this because I got daughters about this age. And this mother's pain, you compound it with the fury that you would feel when you hear about this guy's background. It's just, it's unthinkable.
They say he was high on PCP and painkillers.
If it wasn't for him, she wouldn't be like this. She'd be perfectly fine. We wouldn't be going through this.
Arrest records show Henderson has 4 DUI convictions, 2 in the past 10 years. The prosecutor says he's also awaiting trial for a 5th DUI arrest last December. Last week's arrest would be the 6th. By Washington law, the 4th DUI within 10 years should be a felony. But even if Henderson's convicted for the 2017 incident, giving him 3 convictions in 10 years, the King County prosecutor tells me they still can't charge him with felony DUI for last week's crash, because by law, he has to be convicted of 3 before he commits the 4th.
I mean, can you believe this? There's a guy who has 5. This is allegedly his 6th. And we can't charge him as a 3-time offender because of the technicalities within our laws. And this guy's high on PCP. and we have prosecutors in King County who have legalized personal possession of drugs. We have heroin RVs scattered throughout the region. We told you about the one in Magnolia where we talked to the business owner who had a surveillance camera. And we had on my blog the video of people going into a heroin drug RV, coming out, shooting up in their car, and driving off. And we've legalized drugs in King County. And I decriminalized. To me, there is no distinction between legalization and our prosecutor saying, I will not prosecute any personal possession amounts of drugs. And then we hear about five-time DUI offenders who put a 24-year-old girl in a coma with what will very possibly likely be their sixth DUI, and we still can't get a felony charge? But this is the extension of the madness of our policies in this region where we want to be the drug capital of America. And you hear this mother's pain. Oh, my goodness.
But all this could mean less prison time.
I never want him to ever be free again. All I can do is hope and be positive that she's going to make it through.
They have the entire story posted at comonews.com, and Gabe Cohen did a great job getting the background on this guy. It's heartbreaking. And I truly am trying to figure out the mentality of the city councils and the county council and the Dow Constantine and Prosecutor Satterberg and all of those who say, yeah, let's decriminalize all drugs. Heroin, meth, PCP, like this guy was on. There are human consequences that go far beyond the user. And I'm talking about all the crime victims, the people whose homes are getting broken into, the people whose cars are getting smashed, and the people whose loved ones are left in a coma because of repeat offenders. It's unbelievable. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
And then we have the latest stats on transportation in the region. And I am telling you, you want to talk about a criminal misuse of tax dollars at a time when they tell us that they need more and more money? We have spent more than $100 million on bike lanes in Seattle alone. We have gridlocked much of downtown because of road diets, and we got, you know, try and do that on 35th Northeast. They're doing it in Shoreline. They're doing it all around the region. We'll take out lanes for cars and we'll put in bike lanes. Well, these latest stats from the Seattle Department of Transportation are absolutely shocking. Despite the fact that we've spent more than $100 million on bike lanes, the percentage of Seattle residents who bicycle to work, it was 5% in 2014. It is down to 2.8%. We throw away over $100 million on bike lanes, and we are seeing the number of bicycle commuters on a percentage basis drop dramatically. And we're talking about almost in half. And also, they talked about the pedestrian and bicycle injuries that they've had around the city. And listen to this. They said the decrease in bicycle commuters, the historic wet weather that lasted through April, is a potential factor. Yeah, it never rains around here in normal years. No, people do not want a bicycle to work in a city that is as cold and wet for as much of the year and as hilly as Seattle is. And you can spend $1 billion. You can spend $10 billion. You're not going to get people on bicycles. And that, to me, is just a criminal waste of your tax money, all because they want to carry out their social engineering. The fact of the matter is a lot of us have lives that still need our cars so that we can get to all the busyness in our lives, in our kids' activities, and other things that we do. And they are tearing up lanes of traffic, gridlocking the region for their social engineering purposes that are having a negative effect on even the goal that they strive for. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Okay, I have to get you to go vote in Monson Madness because we are down to the final four. And you have until 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow we will present the championship matchup and we will have the winner announced on Friday. And all four regions of the bracket, the number one seed survived. That has never happened before. One of the ones, I've played it too many times already this week, when Dave Wyman and Paul Moyer were with me in London. You can listen to all the sound bites. That is in the Final Four, and it's up against one that I know a lot of us can't get enough of, and that's when Kashama Sawant was shouted down by downtown construction workers.
Dear members of the media, I really appreciate you all coming here for this important discussion.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
I can appeal to my brothers in the labor movement. As you know, I'm also a rank and file member
no
of the labor movement.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
Brothers, when we can disagree and we will have disagreements in the labor movement, but if we fight against each other,
no
the boss
tax!
Is win.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
Oh, my.
No head tax!
So that is one of the final four matchups. Wyman and Moyer with me in London versus Sawant and the construction workers. Go cast your vote, mynorthwest.com, the Dory Monson show page, or go to facebook.com/Dory Monson, and we will tell you the championship matchup tomorrow, and we will unveil the 2018 soundbite of the year on Friday's show. That is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Woo, well, you're voting for the Awesome Audio of the Year. We got a terrific batch of Awesome Audio of the Day coming up next. So when I was a kid, when my dad was around, there would be a lot of screaming in the house. There was never any physical stuff that happened, but there was just all this screaming.
Which makes things very tense.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. You know, it'd be like 10 o'clock at night. I'd be in bed. He'd come home from the grocery store and where he worked. And I just knew that there was going to be screaming because my mom would be yelling because he'd be drunk. Mm-hmm. And it was like nightly. So I made up my mind that when I had kids, mm-hmm. that they would never hear me or my spouse raise our voices to each other. And I think we've been really good about that. I don't think we've...
I mean, not even get upset with each other?
Not yell. Okay. Not yell.
Yeah.
Because I know what that does to kids.
Yeah. I think we've done that too.
Yeah. So I just, you know, I just have never seen reason to ever yell at my wife, and she doesn't yell at me. And, mm-hmm. and I bring all this up because there are a lot of gamers out there, and they play online. There's a game called Fortnite that I'm not familiar with.
Oh, my goodness.
But this guy in Australia, he's playing. It's being live streamed as he's playing the game.
Yeah, and most people probably know what, but do you know what it is? I mean, it's essentially you have to be last person standing. It's like it's a shooting game.
Okay. Yeah. Well, his pregnant girlfriend wants him to get off the game, and he doesn't realize that all this is being live streamed.
Stop! I'll be out soon. Grace, stop. Stop.
One.
I'm serious. Bonnie just fell over. Can you stop, please? I'll be out soon. Grace, just stop.
There's kids.
Yeah, there's two
kids.
Yeah,
there's some other little kids in the house.
I'm going to start typing. I'll be out soon. I'll be out soon. Grace, I'll be out soon. off. Honestly, I'll be out soon. Stop. I'll start throwing back at you. See how you like it.
So she looked like she threw a piece of cardboard at him. And so then he gets up, and this goes live on the web.
Leave me alone. Off your dog. You don't pay the bills.
Get off the gate.
I mean, how horrifying is this?
Leave me alone! Go away! Go away!
And there are other little kids who are crying in the background. So a bunch of people called the police because everybody's hearing this as it's happening. It's just...
Yeah, all you have to do with this patient is done.
Oh, my word. And then after... I don't want to play anymore. But... and then at the end of the video... He sits back down and keeps playing the game.
Do you know that there are websites and there are all sorts of stories about Fortnite addiction? I mean, it is really the hottest game in the world or one of them. And it's some kids are having to go to video game rehab, but it sounds like this dude has a serious addiction.
He's got some serious
amongst
issues.
Other
issues. Yeah, it was horrifying to listen to that. Okay, with that as a prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
This was about an hour ago on MSNBC. Michael Cohen, President Trump's personal attorney, sentenced to 3 years in jail. Steve Schmidt, who they call a former Republican strategist, said this about Michael Cohen's crime.
Number two.
Look, we're at this moment in time right now where we have enough information to sit and wonder, might this be the greatest crime in American history?
No. All right. And at number one, Mike Francesa is a sports talk host on WFAN in New York City. He got a caller. It's a caller-driven show. And then something unfortunate happened right in the middle of the call.
Number one.
Zach in the story. What's up, Zach?
Mike, listen, I'm a big Yankee fan. Okay. I don't want Noah Syndergaard. He's injury prone. The guy's like a cesspitist. Like, you know, people, they forget. There's a cop behind. There's a cop. Damn it!
You can just see the guy getting pulled over, right, for using his phone. That's what he's yelling about, right? He's getting pulled over. He's on the phone. He's on his car phone. He's using the phone. And he gets pulled over by the cop for using his phone as he's making a call.
That's exactly what he got pulled over for. Our awesome audio of the day brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Today's sign is coming up next. Stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, before we head out into the Wednesday afternoon, I still have a lot to share with you in today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Oh, Columbia University has been roiled by a racist rant. A student at Columbia... He has a video that's gone viral. His name is Julian Von Abele. And he was caught by some minority students at Columbia with quite the rant as this kid was screaming about how proud he was to be white.
We built the modern world. We built the modern world. Who? Europeans.
Europeans.
Built the modern world.
Europeans?
We invented science and industry. We invented science and industry, and you want to tell us to stop because, oh my God, we're so bad. We invented the modern world.
I feel you. You're so dumb.
We invented the modern world.
So, and the kid is he's kind of dancing around and talking about Europeans and everything they did, and of course everyone is recording it to go viral.
Degenerate. We saved billions of people from starvation.
Are you joking me?
We built modern civilization. White people are the best thing that ever happened to the world. We are so amazing. I love myself. And I love white people.
Say that one more.
Yeah, white people.
Say it right here.
Yeah, white men. We're white men! We did everything! Look, I don't hate other people. I just love white men. I just love white men.
Okay, now, of course, that's gone viral. And now they've tracked down the kid and talked to him. And a lot of people have said, you know, if a black student was screaming, I love black people are the best. If a LGBTQ person, I love gay people are the best. Nobody would say anything. But the white kid saying the exact same thing, it becomes a viral sensation. Well, they have now talked to Julian Von Abele. And he says that he was just theatrically and sarcastically demonstrating that white people are not allowed to embrace their cultural achievements during that exchange with the other students a couple of days ago. He said, my reaction that evening grew out of my distaste for the overuse of the term white privilege and similar divisive rhetoric as a means of dismissing views of others. Now, university officials, they have released a statement. They called the video alarming, and the school says it's investigating. The kid is a sophomore, and he says, I didn't denigrate anyone's race. But he has now apologized for going over the top. He said, I'm not a white supremacist or racist, nor do I subscribe to any views that support that ideology. I unequivocally denounce all groups that support racism. But the reality of late 2018 is he could get kicked out of Columbia. The other reality is what he was screaming is incredibly stupid in this day and age. You know it's going to go viral. You know that it's going to follow you the rest of your life. And he might have been trying to make a point about a double standard. And there even may be some validity to that point that there's a double standard, that if somebody of some other race was screaming that they love their race or ethnicity or skin color or whatever, is there a double standard? Yeah. But to test it in that fashion, it's just incredibly stupid because we've seen too many stories like this one where people say stuff that follows them for the rest of their lives. Okay, next up in the today's side, a restaurant in the Midwest, it's a chain called Hopcat. And one of the most popular items on the menu is their crack fries, which is kind of like an old Chris Rock routine. Chris Rock was talking about Krispy Kremes and how good they are, and they must have crack in them. They're so good. They're so addictive. But people went after this restaurant chain saying that the drug epidemic is not funny. And the CEO of the chain has now said the name was chosen over a decade ago to be a joke about how good and addictive their French fries are. He said in a statement, because we got to release statements about everything now. We chose the name more than 11 years ago as a reference to the addictive quality of our fries and their cracked pepper seasoning, without consideration for those the drug negatively affected. We were wrong. The crack epidemic and the lasting impact on those it affects is not funny and never was. And so now these crack fries that have been named by the Food Network one of America's 10 best French fries, but they're changing the name because it's not politically correct to reference anything that has anything to do with the drug epidemic in a food item. All right. And finally, the story's just, it's never ending. The stories of PC and everything else. And finally, in today's sign, college campuses used to be the bastion of free speech and edginess and all of that. But now they must be all safe spaces. And Jerry Seinfeld's made the point that he doesn't like doing college campuses anymore because you can't say anything without people getting upset, people getting triggered. Well, now at one university, University of London, they have a charity event coming up next month, but they are making comedians who perform sign a behavioral agreement form first. And here's what it says. One of the comedians has put this out on the web. This comedy night aims to provide a safe space for everyone to come together to share and listen to comedy, with all proceeds going to UNICEF. This is a chance for all to be entertained and overjoyed by the different performances here on this day. And then the contract says, you are agreeing to our no-tolerance policy with regards to racism, sexism, classism, ageism, ableism, homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, xenophobia, Islamophobia, or anti-religion or anti-atheism. All topics must be presented in a way that is respectful and kind. What can a comedian do? How in the world? Konstantin Kissin is the comedian who got the invitation to perform, and he said the title of this contract nearly made me puke. A behavioral agreement form. Can you imagine somebody like Sam Kinison trying to break in today? There'd be protests outside of every one of his shows. Because everybody has to be safe and sound every second of every day. And the world of comedy is just going to have to adapt to the pathetic sensibilities of college students these days, I guess. And all of this is today's sign, the end is near. I gotta get out of here. I've said everything that I have to say for today. Somehow my show survives in spite of all of this. I have you to thank for that. The Ron and Don Show is coming up next. And I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up. Even if the sky is falling down, I know that we'll be safe and sound.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.